KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy, breezy, and 31 degrees. We look for skies to become partly cloudy, and it'll be continued windy today with a high of 35. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. And in Western Iowa news, a political figure from Nebraska suggests teaming up with Iowa and other states in the Missouri River Basin to create a new panel that would control the waterway. Record flooding of the river this summer caused tens of millions of dollars in damage, much of it in Western Iowa. Former Governor and Senator Bob Kerry suggests the states take back the power from the federal government, but it would likely take an act of Congress.
We need a federal law that gives those basin states authority over quality and quantity of that stream flow, and have to debate it. The representatives on the commission debate what they're going to do.
Kerry says another Nebraska U.S. Senator, Hugh Butler, proposed creating a commission of the 10 Missouri River Basin states back in the 1950s.
It doesn't, as I said, it doesn't produce an environment where there aren't conflicts. It allows them to be resolved.
According to Kerry, the panel proposal would give the states the opportunity to protect residents while fully developing the river's economic potential. Kerry says this year's reemphasized that too often we take the Missouri River too lightly, and we can't or shouldn't try to tame it.
This is the longest river in America, and it's impossible, I would say, and I'd go further, it's not desirable to me. I think it's if you say to me, oh, I could engineer out all the variability of this river, that is not desirable to me. You engineer all the variability out, and it basically becomes an engineering project, not a river.
Kerry sees protecting wildlife habitats along the Missouri River not just as an environmental issue, but an economic one. Discussion about restoring habitat along the Mighty Mo often centers on only protecting endangered species, but Kerry insists protecting habitat could be a financial benefit.
I'm 100% confident what would add economic value as a consequence of increased hunting, increased fishing, increased recreational efforts. It's also a great educational opportunity because we tend to get, you know, the more modern we get, more developed we get more cut off we get from species other than either our own or domesticated animals.
Kerry won the Medal of Honor for his actions while serving with the Navy SEALs in Vietnam. He was governor of Nebraska in the mid-1980s and a U.S. senator for that state from 1989 to 2001. He also ran for president as a Democrat in 1992. News time is 8:03.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Iowa Congressman Bruce Braley, a Democrat from Waterloo, said the Postal Service's decision to delay closing all offices until May of next year isn't just a move that will delay the inevitable. Braley says Congress has been working on changing the way the Postal Service funds its retirement system to allow them to save billions of dollars, and that's why he favors delaying the closings.
I think in this case, the moratorium on making decisions will allow Congress more time to try to address the problems facing the Postal Service in a meaningful way.
The congressman has backed a bill by a colleague on revamping the postal retirement system, and he says the U.S. Senate is also considering action as well.
I think that the impact of congressional action between now and the date when the Postal Service has decided to postpone its decision-making will at least inform the decision of the Postal Service on what type of action it needs to take.
Braley says questioning of the Postmaster General makes him confident the Postal Service is looking at several options to revamp its business once the pension issue is settled.
They have plans in place to implement those decisions when and if they get to the point where they have a better idea of what their future looks like from a congressional standpoint. So I think they have a lot of ideas that they are prepared to implement, some of which are good and some of which are not. But, you know, they haven't just been sitting there idly. They're preparing to deal with the realities of their funding.
There are 178 post offices in Iowa that are on a current list for possible closure. Locally, that includes those facilities in Brayton, Cumberland, Grant, Kimbleton, and Lewis. Braley and the rest of the Iowa congressional delegation all asked the Postal Service to delay the closings, as did Governor Terry Branstad. The Cass County Memorial Hospital's Board of Trustees voted Wednesday morning to proceed with construction documents and bid letting to remodel the current special care unit, or SCU, to house a 4-bed inpatient behavioral health unit, or BHU. The move essentially saves that unit from being closed, as had been feared. If the bids are within budget projections, remodeling would begin in late 2012, and after the special care unit relocates to the new hospital addition, which is scheduled to open in August of 2012. The current BHU is located in an older part of the hospital, scheduled for demolition during the final stage of the current construction and remodeling project. The motion to keep the facility open came yesterday from board member John Mulgard and was seconded by Leanne Pellett.
I'd like to make a motion that that we have a contract with Canon Mossberger. They are the architects and engineers on the project today. And they're to provide drawings and bid documents for the remodeling of the intensive care unit to accommodate the behavioral health unit. The drawings and bidding documents will have to be ready about 3 weeks prior to a bid date, which in the schedule of things would be scheduled for April 12th of next year. The cost for this drawings and so forth, getting ready, bid documents, would be approximately $24,000, not to exceed $24,000.
According to CCMH, the hospital's trustees have been examining the financial feasibility of maintaining an inpatient BHU due to the poor reimbursement and consistent losses incurred for the service. Losses include actual shortages in payment due to contractual adjustments with private insurances and Medicare-Medicaid reimbursement below cost, since BHU is not considered a core service for a critical access hospital, which CCMH is. The cost of remodeling the SCU will likely run about $300,000, the funds of which are available, according to Mulgard.
We've always got funds for expansion. We have our board designated funds that are still sitting there. I mean, we aren't going to go out and start making the rounds of the public and asking for, can you give this, can you give this, or more taxes or anything else. We have funds to do it.
If the costs of remodeling exceed the estimate, however, plans for the BHU would have to be reevaluated. The Cass County Board of Supervisors were on hand for yesterday's meeting, and after the trustees' decision was made, Supervisor Chair Dwayne McFadden said that he and the other supervisors were pleased to learn the BHU won't be closing.
We're very happy with the board's vote, unanimous vote of retaining, moving on, and getting the architect figures on what it would cost.
Prior to discussion and a vote on the matter, Hal Groenwald spoke on behalf of the Cass Atlantic Development Corporation.
We're very interested in having you retain the behavioral health unit because we're concerned about the job loss, both in and out of the hospital. And on the other hand, we think there's also an opportunity here by virtue of the fact that a lot of your neighboring providers have discontinued this service, and so there are some 25 or so counties that have to come to you now.
In an effort to persuade the Cass County Memorial Hospital's Board of Trustees to hold on to the behavioral health unit, a suggestion was made by Groenwald Wednesday morning to have the hospital apply to the Department of Human Services to become one of a handful of regional mental health centers in the state. Groenwald says Atlantic has a lot to offer as far as infrastructure and local and inpatient and outpatient services, and by applying to the DHS, he says it's possible the center could be located in Atlantic. Dr. John Bigelow of the Southwest Iowa Mental Health System clarified by saying that any regional center would primarily be for outpatient services, which is different than what the BHU currently offers.
They'll have to have some kind of contract with inpatient providers, but the primary goals of the redesign are outpatient services across the board as far as children's brain injury, mental health, and intellectual disabilities clients, primarily outpatient.
The new way of delivering mental health and disability services across Iowa has been studied for months, and the 5-year plan will come before the legislature for review in the upcoming session. It calls for spending $47 million for a complete system redesign. The idea is to move from separate systems in each of Iowa's 99 counties to a regional system. Under the current county system, there is a wide variance in quality and availability of services because funding comes from local property taxes. If a redesigned system is passed by the legislature, it would likely take about 5 years to put into place. Taking a look at national news headlines this hour, the number of people applying for unemployment benefits has dropped to its lowest level since May of 2008. The Labor Department says weekly applications for unemployment benefits fell by 19,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 366,000 last week. The less volatile four-week average dropped for the 10th time in the past 12 weeks to the lowest number since July of 2008. Stopgap funds run out on Friday at midnight, meaning a government shutdown if lawmakers don't approve a spending measure. House Republicans unveiled a massive $1 trillion-plus spending package late yesterday that curbs agency budgets but drops many policy provisions sought by GOP conservatives. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcements, Ryan Tater Johnson, age 51, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Funeral services for Ryan Johnson will be held today at 10:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Marjorie Detlefson, age 93, of Manning, died Monday. Funeral services for Marjorie Detlefson will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home of Manning has arrangements. Joseph Joe Frum, age 91, of Avoca and formerly of the Omaha and Shelby areas, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Joe Frum will be held on Saturday at 10:30 at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby. Morris Morgan, age 85, of Greenfield, died Tuesday. A funeral mass for Morris Morgan will be Saturday at 10:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Janice Irene Taylor, age 85, of Oakland, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Janice Taylor will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Nadine Ashmore, age 70, of Greenfield, died Tuesday in Creston. Services for Make That Celebration of Life services for Nadine Ashmore will be Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Greenfield United Methodist Church, with the Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield in charge of arrangements. And 99-year-old Clara Hansen, who's from Florida and formerly of Manila, died Tuesday. A massive Christian burial service for Clara Hansen will be held next Monday at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila, with the Odie Funeral Home of Manila in charge of the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.